Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is actually someone that we had on a little while ago, a few months. She started this series at 37 weeks pregnant, and I was very excited because I thought maybe, just maybe, it would be our first birth in the studio, but that didn't happen, sadly. But she's back a few months down the line. Let us know how it's going. Montana! Hello.
Hi, guys. Oh, my God, I'm so happy to be back.
You look so refreshed and amazing.
I did put some makeup on for the first time today. This is not how I look every day.
I mean, I know it's been quite the journey, and it looks like you're in bed right now, and there's a good reason for this. It's not just postpartum-ness. You've actually had your knee surgery that you talked to us about.
Yes, I had my knee surgery 2.5 weeks ago, so when Jude was only 3 months, just because I thought, do you know what? I need to get it done before he starts crawling, rolling, all of that stuff. So I made the decision to get it done a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, God, how's it been?
It's been hard, but not actually with the baby stuff, because as you know, they're not very mobile.
Yeah.
So they're just kind of, you put them there and they stay there at this point. So it's really good. It's really been quite helpful. But apart from that, it's been okay. It's been a bit tough. I didn't realise the pain. I thought, I've done childbirth. I mean, what could it have on childbirth? And then I was like, oh, wow, this hurts. This hurts a lot.
How long does it look like your recovery is going to be take?
So I thought I'd be like up on my feet within 2 weeks. I was like, oh, I'll be fine. And actually, I'm probably going to be in crutches for another 4 weeks.
Okay.
Which is hard because I need a lot of support, more because of Jude, because I can't pick him up and move with him, obviously. Yeah. So yeah, it has been a bit tricky, but I'm just really thankful that I've got my mum and my other half just to help me with him at home.
Oh, bless you. So let's rewind to 37
let's
weeks.
Rewind.
Let's rewind to where we were. You were very excited to give birth. I've listened back to the episode and I had the biggest grin on my face while I was listening. Like, and obviously it was the first episode that we'd ever done with someone who was expecting.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just were so excited about it. Were you talking about your doula, talking about how you'd like to give birth at home because, you know, you didn't know if you could have that privacy within the NHS.
Yeah.
You were waiting for Mark to step up a little bit in some capacity. And also you had no things. You had the baby cot, you had the crib. I think you had a few nappies maybe and some baby crib, but that was all that you had. And you were like, going to start maybe looking at the pram and things. But from that point, what happened? How did the last little bit of your pregnancy go?
Do you know what? We were still pretty chilled about the pram thing. We were like, well, do we need a pram instantly? And we did actually manage to put up a pram. We did.
Jude was here by then because you posted a photo that was clearly with baby. And there's Mark in the background trying to put the pram together. I'm like, okay, they did wait.
We did wait until the end. But it was huge. Did I tell you why? It was so much bigger than I thought. And I really didn't consider the size of a pram. I just thought, oh, all the prams are the same. And, you know, Google, yeah, that seems good. And like, we ordered one. It was so huge. I was like, I can't have this up in the house whilst it was blocking the hallway.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so I'm going to have to put that up when the baby comes. But everything else pretty much stayed as it was. Very chilled. I was like, nappies, wipes, that's all we really need, surely. And yeah, like, I just wasn't worried.
Yeah.
I just thought, this baby's got a roof over its head. It's got a house, you know, it's got a bedroom. It's got us. Like, what more can it really need?
I feel like Mark being so chilled has really rubbed off on you as well.
Yeah, it really did, actually. And it was, I actually really enjoyed that time. And I think because he wasn't stressed, I also wasn't that stressed. And I did feel like really calm, which is weird. Like we kind of discussed last time, I really was excited. It was like Christmas for me. I was like, oh, it's going to happen. I felt so mentally prepared. And I was constantly reading like this doula deck. And I was just like, I know it's going to happen soon. When is it going to happen? I want to meet my baby. And I was just really trying to get myself in the mindset of, hurry up, I'm ready.
Is the doula deck kind of like positive affirmations and things?
Yeah, exactly. So it's got kind of three sections of the deck. So you've got pregnancy. So there's kind of a list of, and there's different affirmations you can say whilst you're pregnant, which I did. And then there's ones for birth as well. So you can practice the affirmations like when you're in labour. So I was kind of reading over those, refreshing my memory over kind of what things I can be saying to myself, like during my labour and things like that.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was like kind of rehearsing for the big day. I was like rehearsing. I was just like trying to remember all the affirmations I needed. So actually when the day came, I just felt so prepared.
It is like Christmas, but the problem is with it is that you don't have a Christmas Eve. Do you know what I mean? So you don't know.
You
go to bed on Christmas Eve and you wake up on Christmas Day knowing that Father Christmas has been. That's how it goes. But with this, you don't know what your eve is going to be, and you don't know, and also things start twinging, you can read into things.
Yeah, and do you know what's so weird? So the day before I actually went into labour, I don't know why, but I was like, I want to get a wax. I was like, out of all the things that I really want to do, I know I need to have a wax. And throughout my whole pregnancy, I was like, nah, I was like, oh, natural, I can be hairy, this is my time, I'm a cave woman kind of thing. And then literally the day before, not knowing it was the day before, I was like, no, I need to get a wax. I'm going to feel better if I get a wax. So I literally went to get my foof wax literally the day before.
Just your foof?
Just my foof. Nothing else. Hairy armpits, hairy legs, hairy everything else. But that morning of, I then went into labour and I was like, maybe that was what put me into labour. It was so much more painful.
The final nesting mode. The final nesting mode is sorting out your bush. Who knew?
Didn't have half of my baby stuff, but thought that was a priority to get my bush waxed. And then I was like, I'm sure that sent me into labour maybe, but I don't know.
That's amazing. How far were you?
I was 38 plus 4.
Yes, early.
Not actually that long after I came on the podcast.
Oh, we were so close.
I know.
Just like 11 days out. That's unfair, actually.
Yeah, I know. That actually would have been quite the story.
It would have been. And so how did you feel? Like, what were those early like twinges and feelings that made you go, oh, this might be it? And did you believe that it was it when it was happening?
So after I got my bush waxed, the morning after, I woke up at about 7 o'clock and I was like needing the toilet. So I got up and then I just had kind of like a little trickle, which I thought was wee, actually. I was like, oh my God, I've wet myself. I was like, that's unlike me. I haven't done that my whole pregnancy. And then I kind of ignored it, went to the toilet, went for a wee. And then when I came back, I honestly nearly slipped over in the water. And I was thinking, that seems like a lot, actually. I thought it was a trickle, but actually I literally nearly slipped over in it.
Yeah.
And so I said, Mark, I was like, I can't work out if I've wet myself or like my waters have broken. And he kind of rolled over and was like, I think you've just wet yourself. Like, I think you'd know. And then he just like went back to sleep. And I was just like, that's rude.
Also, I underwhelming. Think, you know, if you wet yourself, do you know what I mean? It's so hard because I had the same thing. And I wonder how many people's pregnancy, but labour starts like that, where you're kind of a bit like, have I wet myself? Is this?
Yeah.
Because we're all waiting for the big gush that you see in the movies.
Yeah. So I was really confused, but I thought, just in case, I'm going to do a practice run. This could be my dress rehearsal. I was so excited. I went downstairs and I remember my doula saying, make sure you eat something because like you won't feel like eating as you progress. And also so many people have told me, you know, first time babies, they take ages. You could be in early labour for like a day. And I was thinking, I've got time. I might book a cinema ticket. I'm going to go back. So I went downstairs, made myself some breakfast, had a cup of tea, was bouncing on my bouncy ball. And I was just reading my birth affirmations. And I was like, okay, I've got this. And then genuinely, I was just kind of flicking on my phone, just like, okay, like, what do I want to do today? Like, how do I want to carve out, like, just in case this is, you know, the day of birth. Within genuinely an hour, so maybe like by 8 o'clock, I was having such intense contractions. And by 7:30, so literally maybe like an hour and a half after like I've wet myself. I was having 3 contractions in 10 minutes, lasting over a minute along.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, I said to Mark, I said, I don't think this is normal. I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I genuinely feel like this baby's like coming very quickly.
How strong did those contractions feel? Obviously, by that point, you have nothing to compare it to. So forgetting what comes later, in that first bit, did you feel like this is it? And this is what it's going to be like.
So I kind of knew, because when I was bouncing on my ball, reading my affirmations, I was having kind of like period pains. And I was like, okay, this is really manageable. But then within half an hour, I couldn't actually talk through my contractions.
Whoa.
So I was like mooing like a cow. Like I can't explain like anything else. I was really mooing. And I remember saying to Mark, I need my TENS machine. So he got my TENS machine, but I couldn't speak. At 8:30, I could not speak through my contractions. So I was bouncing my bouncy ball. I remember I was like, turn all the lights off. I had my dog with me and I was just mooing. I was like, 2 long moves and I'm through my contraction. So that was what I had in my head. And again, I was like, I'm 1 step closer to my baby. I was like saying all these affirmations. My eyes were closed the whole of my labor, by the way. That's a different story. But the pain was really ramping up. And obviously because I'd opted for a home birth, Mark was like, shall I like call the birth center? And I was like, yes. I was like, yes, this baby is coming. And obviously they didn't think I was in established labor at all. Or like they didn't think that I was anywhere near, because they were thinking first time mom, probably not. And in my head also, I was kind of second guessing. Maybe I can't do this home birth because I'm like in so much pain. It's only been like an hour. And I'm thinking, oh my God, have I got a day of like 3 contractions under 10 minutes? And then when the midwife came to the house, this was about 10:30. She asked to examine me and I just said no. And I felt really empowered with that no.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot about what I'd spoken about with Mark and also my doula about what does that mean for someone in labour if you're told you're only 2 centimetres or 3 centimetres. It's just demoralising. And I just, I felt really comfortable. Even though the contractions, you know, I was breathing through them and they were painful, I really felt under control. And I felt like I was really, my body just knew what it was doing. I felt really kind of calm. I wasn't panicked. And I just thought, I don't want to be examined. So I wasn't examined.
Also, if you knew that maybe that could have wobbled things a bit. You know, and it's all about what you feel is right for you in that moment.
Exactly. And I felt like if she was like, oh yeah, you know, you're only 1 centimetre, I think I just would have been like.
Yeah. Was your doula here by this point?
Yeah, so Mark had called my doula. I mean, I was honestly, I had no idea what was going on. I don't know if you had this, but I had no idea where I was. Like, it wouldn't even have mattered where I was, because I had my eyes closed the whole time. I just wouldn't look up, because I was just so like into myself. And I was just really in this like really special place of like, my body was like on autopilot. It was really special. So the midwife actually took my blood pressure and she also took a urine sample. So I had protein in my urine and I had really high blood pressure.
Right.
And so she was basically insinuating that I could have preeclampsia. And so she was like, I would go to hospital. And I was like, oh my God, no. I was like, I really don't want to go to hospital. I was like, after all this. And she was like, look, do you know what? She was like, I think you're in really early labor right now. I remember she kept talking to me as I was having these contractions. And I was like, oh my God, she keeps talking to me. I can't concentrate. And then she just said, look, you can pop there. You know, you've got time to go to the hospital and come back, I think. I think you're really early. And I just remember thinking, like, this baby is so close. I can feel it. So we got in the car, went to the hospital, went to triage. And I was having contractions on the way. So I was that, felt like I was watching myself on One Born Every Minute when you see, like, the pregnant lady coming through the aisles and they're having a contraction. Like, like, in the hallway. That was me. And I was. And I had my pillow, and I just remember I kept putting my pillow on the side of the wall and put my face in it going, like this with my contractions. And there were so many people. I just thought people must have thought I was crazy.
But it's fascinating, though, that in those moments, like all of your inhibitions and stuff goes.
Oh, I
like,
did I not
care.
I can
remember feeling like I'm going to keep my nightie on or whatever. And then you're in labour and you're just like, sod it. I am naked, whatever. It's funny though, where it's just that animalistic side of it, where that side just sort of shuts off.
Yeah, you just don't care, do you? You don't care at all. So I got to triage, had the blood test, and they were like, you know, and by the time I got to triage, it was about midday. They took my bloods. They were like, it'll be about an hour. And I was like, guys, I can't last an hour. And I remember, this is what's funny, because you remember last time I was saying how I really wanted Mark to like advocate for me, want him to step up. Yeah. I had my eyes closed and I was obviously breathing through my contractions and I could hear him having a conversation with the midwife being like, yeah, you know, I think she really wants to go home. Like, we need to have a home birth because that's really what she wants. Midwife was kind of saying, no, like, I want her to go to the labor ward or at least the birth center. And in my head, there was no way in hell I could have made it home because this baby was like, genuinely, I was like, this baby's like, I could just feel it coming out. My body was like involuntary pushing.
Yeah.
I just remember my eyes were closed and I could hear Mark, you know, she really wants a home birth. We really need to go home. We need to pop home right now. And I literally turned to her and went, shut the fuck up about a home birth. I was like, we're not having a home birth. Okay, don't mention it again. And literally he was like, my God. And it was the first time I ever like actually shouted at him in my whole labour. Because I completely lost it.
There's Mark. He's like, I'm finally doing what she wants. I'm stepping up. I'm advocating. Don't worry, babe. I've got this.
Literally. Because it was the first time I'd opened my eyes, like, literally since we got home. So I think he was so shocked. And, like, it makes me laugh so much because I was literally just on him the whole time throughout my third trimester. You have to advocate for me. Okay, I want a home birth. Okay, don't forget. Don't forget to stand up for me. And then literally the one time he's doing it, I just, like, absolutely lost it. I mean, it was funny. But yeah, within like 2 hours, they had me down in the birth centre and bada boom, bada bing. Dude was there.
We're not going to do a bada bing, bada whatever. No, no. Did it? So from that, did it keep getting stronger? Did your doula stay with you the whole time?
Yes, my doula stayed with me the whole time. And actually, it was a real godsend that she was there because that transition from home to hospital, which yeah. I don't think Mark had processed could actually happen or would happen, he was obviously flapping, thinking, oh my God, I don't even know where the birth bag is. What's it? What do I need in the birth bag? What do I need to bring with me? And I think the doula really gave him the confidence, but like, right, it's okay. We're going to blow up the pool as well, because if we are able to come back, we want to be able to for her to jump in the pool. So we're going to blow that up. You're going to do that. Okay. And then we're going to order some stuff from Waitrose. You know, we're going to get some mango, some fruit, some raspberries, some honey, some sweet things that she can have. And I think it just really helped him be yeah. a massive support to me. He was amazing on the day. And I think a big part of that was because he felt really confident in what he was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the doula was showing him, you know, I can't remember what it's called, but the anti-pressure points, you know, where they kind of push your hips in. I can't remember what it's called, but loads of different things like that. And I think she just really calmed him. And I didn't even realise she was there. And that was the beauty of it. I think when people think, oh, I don't think I want a doula. I think it's going to be too overcrowded. It was really nice because I didn't know this until afterwards, but the midwife's insisting that I was going to go on the labour ward, and my doula knew that I really didn't want to go on the labour ward, birth centre all the way. And so it was Em that kind of said to Mark, you know, she's fine. She's not got preeclampsia. You can push for her to go to the birth centre because, you know, that's what she really wants. And, you know, that's a good thing to do. So that gave Mark the confidence to be like, actually, no, she doesn't want to go to the labour ward. She's going to the birth centre. And then that's exactly where I ended up. Yeah. So having the doula there was incredible. She took so many photos. Like, we have so many lovely memories of, like, through our birth. And I didn't even notice she was there. She just came in and
Does it feel weird looking back at those photos?
I cry looking back at these pictures because they're just so beautiful. Just it's just every moment. And it's really sweet because I just see, like, how supportive Mark was. Obviously, I knew he was there and I knew that he was... I could not have done it without him by any stretch. But it was just... The photos are just incredible. Just capturing every single moment of him just being so supportive, and it was just such a magical moment, and yeah, it was amazing.
I love that. Mentally for you, how was that transition from knowing that you wanted it to be at home, but actually now you're giving birth in the birthing suite?
Do you know what? At the time, I just couldn't care less because I just thought, this is my path now. I'm at the hospital. I'm going to the birth centre. And I think if I was on the labour ward, I think that would have not been what I wanted.
Yeah.
But the birth centre was like a ghost town. There was no one there.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, it was completely empty. My birth room was so beautiful, had all these twinkly lights everywhere. The midwives were incredible. And yeah, that unfortunately, I couldn't give birth at home. Do you know what? I have absolutely zero regrets. I'm glad I went in and checked that I didn't have preeclampsia, but I would really like to have a home birth in the future.
Yeah. So the thing is, I think if you can mentally in that moment kind of go, this is what the situation is, then that's great.
I think I just knew in that moment I wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you've had a similar feeling of, like, you just... It was so weird. I didn't know, and I've never heard of this happening, but my body was like... I was having involuntary pushing.
The second birth for me was like that. I did nothing.
Yeah.
I was there for the ride. I had 5 of those intense pushes because I got to hospital... The journey in, I could hardly sit down on the seat of the car. I felt like it was so... so much pressure down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could hardly walk to the hospital from the car. Got in and they wanted to examine me and they said I was 6 to 7 centimetres. So I was like, okay. Went to the toilet and while I was in there, I felt that like whoosh sensation of something pushing. I was like, that's weird. And the midwife was like, oh, don't worry about it. Just get in the pool. And I was like, okay. Honestly, and then 4 more of those, I felt everything. I felt him going down, like going down. Like I felt everything and he was just there. Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, and I think if it's one thing that like the whole journey's taught me is that you know your body the most and you're so in tune with your body. Like, I think a lot of the time, obviously midwives do it all day, every day. And like the majority of people do have a longer birth for their first. And the majority of people, you know, they don't escalate that quickly and they don't kind of escalate as quickly as normally as like a second or a third. But you can be the anomaly.
Yeah.
You absolutely can be. And just like you said, you know, the midwife kind of thought you were 6 centimetres.
Literally one loo visit.
Yeah, one
and
loo
I can
visit.
Remember even during that time, I went to the loo and I obviously did a wee. And then whilst I was mid, like the contractions had passed, so it was a moment of calm, I was literally looking in the mirror, pulling out grey hairs. And then, so I was like totally fine. And then there was this big thing that happened. And I was like, this is a massive, that's a shift. Big shift.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and he was definitely on his way.
Oh. It was such a magical moment. And, you know, they say you have like a transitional phase.
Yeah.
Where I think it's like in caveman, it's like you're when you get to like 8 or 9 centimetres maybe, and it's like your fight or flight, where it gives you that opportunity, that window to like run away if you need to, if there's danger. And, you know, every kind of woman goes through it where you're like, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. Okay, I can't. And I remember having that moment so clearly because you're just exhausted. I just remember, and it was the end of June. I was sweating so much. It was so hot. And then literally within 45 minutes of me saying, I can't do it, he was with us. But I will never forget the ring of fire. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever given birth not in a pool?
Yes. Yes.
That ring of fire, I was like, I don't want to push. I was like, I don't want to push.
It's like when you've got a really big poo and you know you need to get it out. The only way is out.
I know. And I just remember feeling it for the first time, that burn. And I've been warned about the ring of fire multiple times. And I remember looking at my mother like, and she's like, don't suck it in. She's like, you need to push through it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't.
The only way of getting rid of the ring of fire is to push out. The baby out.
And she was like, do you know what? She's like, you can do this. She was like, I know it hurts. She was like, I know this is burning, but you've got to do it. You've got to push through. And I was thinking, oh my God. And it was such a horrible feeling of like burning. And I just thought, you know what? The sooner I get this done, the better. And I just remember literally pushing like 2 big pushes. I just held my breath and I pushed the first time.
Yeah.
Pushed the second time. And I'm not even joking. He just flew out. Not even like the head, the shoulders. I was like, I'm not going through this burning any longer. Like this. I just remember pushing it like really, really hard the second time. He literally flew out, not the head and then the shoulders. And Mark was like, I'm so glad that the midwife was there. I would not have caught him. He would have been on the floor. I was like, yeah, that's why they're there.
And how was he? Because my second who came out super fast, he came out so fast, his eyes were bloodshot from the pressure of coming out so fast. For about a month, he looked like and his eyes were like a superhero villain with like the streaks of red in it.
Well, how was he when he came out?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? It's a real like weird feeling when they come out because they look like a bit like an alien.
Yeah.
But there's so much love in the room. Like it really was incredible. Like even the midwives were just so amazing, I have to say. And the fact they do that all day, every day, and like they're just so happy. And like, I just remember the first look that I gave to Mark when he first came out. And it's just this incredible moment of just so much love. Yeah. And that was just magical. And I just remember in that moment, I was like, I want like 10,000 kids. I would do this over and over again, like just for that moment of, you know, they come out. And I remember, because I was standing up like cowboy style with one foot up on a step, like on a big step. That's how I gave birth, like standing up. And Mark was like, what are you doing? I was like, I just have my foot up. I was like, I don't know why. I had my foot up on this weird, like to the side, literally like a cowboy. And like the baby came like flying out and like they gave the baby to Mark like underneath me. I think Mark literally shat his pants. He was like, oh, butt there, like this.
And they're slippery and everything about that point as well.
And he like was about to like pull him up, and the midwife was like, no, don't pull him too much because that's attached. And, and he was like, oh my gosh, he was like, this was terrifying. And then I remember the first time I kind of had him on my chest, it was just like amazing. And like, do you know what? Jude was not, like, he didn't cry at all. Like when he was first born, he was so calm. Yeah. And he was just looking at us both in the eye, and it was just such a joyful moment. And oh, I just loved to have that moment a million times. Like it was just so special and like raw. And I just, yeah, it was just such a beautiful moment. And you can see why people want more than one child after having that such a special moment. And it was just, yeah, it was so magical.
Yeah. Could you marry him with the pregnancy, if you know what I mean?
Not at all. It was so weird seeing he had a face. I know that sounds bizarre, but I was like, I think for the first week, all I said was, I can't believe he came out my vagina. I can't believe he came out my vagina. Did you know he came out my vagina? And my mum was like, yeah, everyone knows he came out your vagina. You can stop saying it a million. Because I was just in pure disbelief that like this actual thing had come out me, out my vagina. And I was just in complete shock. He had eyeballs. He's got hair. He's got a face and just all these things. It's just, and that's when I thought, you know what, because I think afterwards as well, you're like, oh my God, my body looks so weird and, you know, morphed and lots of cellulite. And I was thinking, I actually don't care. Like that first 2 weeks, I was like, I do not care. Like this was such a special moment. And I think I remember hearing like Emma Thomas saying like, your body is your vessel. Like it looks after you. And like the things that it's able to do is so special. And who cares? It is really weird seeing like a baby for the first time, I think as well, in terms of, they look really blue.
Yeah.
And his head.
The lips are massive and.
Yeah. The balls are massive. Oh my God, his balls were absolutely huge. I was like, what's wrong? And they were like, it's really normal. I was like, why is bollocks absolutely humongous? Like it was the weirdest thing. I'd never seen anything like that before. And also his head was such a weird shape. And I remember looking at the midwife being like, is that normal? They're like, yeah, he's just come through the birth canal a bit weird because his head was like, well,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Looked like a potato. But, you know, you love him all the same.
Yeah. And how were you physically in those moments? You needed stitches, didn't you?
Yeah. And do you know what? At that point, I just did not care. Like, I was just lying with him. To be honest, I kind of thought in my head briefly that I would need stitches because the way he just flew out, I just thought that. And also, I mean, something else that we need to address for sure, because I actually, so many people said they didn't even realise this, and a lot of my mum friends didn't even realise this. Did you know your vagina stays closed the whole way through until the baby comes out?
No.
Your vagina stays completely closed. So, like, I had a mirror, so I was, like, pushing. I was, like, Mark was behind me, and they had me on this little half toilet seat. And so I was 10 centimetres dilated, and I was pushing, right? And I had caught a glimpse of my vagina. Obviously, it was bald and everything, which was great. I could see everything. My vagina was completely closed. And I was like, have they been lying to me? So I was like, why is my vagina closed? I was thinking, like, I thought I was 10 centimetres. And they were like, yeah, no, like, you are 10 centimetres, but that's your cervix. Your cervix is inside. Yeah. I was there thinking, like, my vagina's going to be, like, gaping open. You'd be able to, like, see the...
Well, yeah, because I guess there's nothing coming through your vagina at that point. So it is just the bit that's up above.
Yeah, but it was bizarre to me. It just looks completely normal. Like, obviously, like, when you're pushing, like, you kind of can see it's kind of, like, tiny bit, like, bulging. But, like, apart from that, it just looks completely normal, like a normal day. I was like, that is bizarre. That was crazy to me. That was, and I remember telling my my sister-in-law, she was like, I didn't know that. She's like, I had no idea. But that is a newsflash for becoming mums. Don't be surprised if your vagina's closed the whole time throughout labour.
Yeah, don't let it put you off.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry. You are in labour and it is coming.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Stitches-wise, how were they in your recovery?
Do you know what? That was actually the worst thing, the stitches. Yeah. And because, so I didn't realise, I only had a first degree tear, but my friend had a third degree tear. And she said that when she sat down, she couldn't feel her stitches as much. Whereas because mine were like, really, I mean, literally from the top of my vagina all the way to the back. Every time I sat down, oh my gosh, it was agony. I had to sit on a rubber ring.
Yeah.
Like it was just, and every single time going for a wee, I didn't want to go to the toilet, full stop. I was like, I don't want to go for a poo. I don't want to go for a wee. I don't want to have a shower. I don't want to do anything. Like, I don't think I showered for like the first like 3 days. Like they made me shower right after birth. And then I think after that, I was like, I'm not showering. That like absolutely kills. Like the just, yeah. It was just too much. And I just was like, no.
It's horrible as well because it's like they're stitches. You've got to keep them dry and clear. But it's just, you also don't know how, like, and I feel like there's so much different advice out there in terms of what you can and you can't do. Like I used, I think third time around or maybe even second time around, Brits for Bits.
Yeah, I was terrified to use that. Life.
Oh, but it's really refreshing. But then I also didn't want to get my stitches moist. I can't remember it stinging. I do feel like it was soothing.
Yeah.
But I definitely have it. So my first birth, I had an episiotomy. And then the second time round, I tore. And I actually thought tearing was almost easier to recover from than the episiotomy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I feel like your tear, that's just what your body wants to do. Whereas when someone has actually cut you, that's not tearing where your body wants to tear in a way. But the feeling of where they sit and everything when you're walking around,
oh, horrible.
Knowing that they can almost catch sometimes.
No, 100%, because they were catching on that gigantic nappy I was wearing for like the first 6 days. And obviously after birth, I had no idea how much you bleed. I was just bleeding everywhere. And I just
that's the thing, you can't keep it dry, this too. Yeah. Like, there's blood down there.
Yeah, I know. I was like, how am I keeping it dry? How am I keeping it clean? I was like, you know what? I don't care right now. I was like, I'm just looking after this little child that I've just birthed. Like, it was like the last of my worries. I just remember what I used to do. I was like, I used to kind of pat it with a flannel.
Yeah.
And then I'd use a hairdryer. And one of the... Yeah. Because it was the easiest way how to dry
on
it.
On your hairless fanny.
On my hairless fanny. It was amazing. I was like, oh my God, this feels so nice. Like, on the cold setting, I was like, this is magic. So that was like
That's
the
so
best...
good.
Yeah, that was the best way. And actually, every single time I had a shower, because they were like, you need to make sure that it's dry, like, use a hairdryer. It's fantastic.
I remember going for poos and having to hold the front.
No.
So getting the tissues holding the front, just hoping that the poo would come out easily.
Oh my God, it's like the most awful thing. I have like this like stool, because like all my friends are like, get a stool, get a poo stool so you can put your feet up.
Yeah.
But it was just agony. I think that was the one shock for me. It wasn't anything to do with birth. I felt so prepared for birth. But the postpartum thing is just, oh my God, that is really difficult. And I think you're just in pain, especially if you've torn or you've had an episiotomy or even just from giving birth, like the pain that you're in.
Yeah.
I didn't want to wash my hair. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to get out of bed.
Well, it's like you say, you had that ring of fire. You have literally, whether you've done it that way or even a cesarean, with that way, you've pushed something out of your fanny, which, you know, yes, that's natural. That's what your body's designed for. But you're going to feel the after effects of that. There's going to be bruising.
Yeah.
You know, it's all going to be very swollen.
And
I think we don't talk about that. And we don't, so therefore there's no focus on it. All of our focus when we're pregnant is on that one day.
Yeah, 100%. I genuinely was just in complete shock. I didn't realise how painful it would be. I didn't realise how emotional I'd be. I didn't realise how many nappies I'd go through.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was like a murder scene. And I remember because my partner's family were like, oh, you know, we really want to come round. And I was just like, there's blood all over the floor. You can't. Like, literally. And because it's not as if I'm like, oh, let me just crouch down and like, let me just grab this and let me just go and clean up. And like, I just didn't have the energy. Like, genuinely, it looked like someone had been murdered in our bedroom. I was like, I can't have anyone other than my mum, like, seeing the state of this room right now. And I think I just really leaned into the fact I was like, you know what? I don't need to be looking good. I don't need to smell good. I don't need to do anything. I can just sit on my own blood and I can just use my hairdryer and I'm sweet. Like, I was just like, didn't care.
How did your tummy feel? For me, it was a very odd thing. It was like almost like bread dough.
Yeah, that was exactly what mine was like. It was so weird. I can completely see, because a lot of my friends who have cesareans and who haven't been able to be awake during their cesarean, they often have this kind of whole like, is that my baby kind of feeling?
Yeah.
I mean, I know so many of my friends that have had that experience and be like, it's very weird waking up and having a baby on you because your mind kind of plays tricks on you because you've not seen it come out of your body. Whereas like for me, it really made sense because I thought, oh, this is like my little kangaroo pouch. You know, he was in there like literally yesterday. And so I can completely actually really understand how hormonally, it's really different, maybe, and sometimes maybe a bit more difficult. But yeah, it was very weird. I was like, God, I've got all this spare room, because it was so tight as well. My belly button looked so weird.
Really?
It looked like a little mini like penis, like, because it hadn't gone like in. I was like, that is awful. Let's hope that goes in. Like, it was like inside out, just like kind of floppy. I was like, ew. But yeah,
inside out and floppy.
It was.
No one would know that we were talking about your belly button there.
I know. But it's the weirdest thing, isn't it? Seeing your body kind of like slowly get back, and like even now, I'm just got so much more cellulite, so much more kind of excess like skin, and you just.
It's just that body that we are not used to seeing. We're definitely not used to experiencing. No matter how often someone's given birth, that postpartum body, especially in that first week, that's only really experienced in that week. You know, where your body is kind of working out, you're literally, your organs are moving back into their places, you know.
Yeah.
Like, let's not think about abs or anything like that. Your lungs are being able to expand, like your tummy's going back to where it should be. Everything is just kind of swirling around in there, finding its place. And I think that's something you only experience during that short window.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre.
No, it is really bizarre. I don't know, not that I was sad, but I really loved being pregnant. I loved my pregnant belly. I feel like people got up all the time to let you sit down. Like, oh, you know, take a seat. You don't move a muscle. And I was like, that's going to go now. I have to do it all myself now. I found like my milk coming in, all of that process, that to me was like by far the worst, I think.
Really?
I had lumps coming out of my armpits. Like,
oh, yeah, which apparently your tissue goes all the way, yeah.
And I didn't realise. And it was so painful. I had genuinely had, they looked like golf balls. I couldn't actually put my arm down without being painful. And I just
remember. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was awful. And I was like, something's wrong. I was like, what is happening? I was like, this is agony. And my partner's dad's best friend is a doctor. And he was like, you need to like massage it down. It's just like milk. And I was just thinking, for God's sake, anything else? And like my boobs were already like up here with like all these blue veins. And like they were rock hard. And I was thinking, oh my God, when's this going
to
end?
It's also that you go to bed on like night two and you're like, okay, I feel like I'm getting somewhere. This is okay. Like, well, you're not, but you know, you kind of know where you are within that 48 hours, you know.
Yeah.
You wake up and you have these rocks attached to your body.
Oh, it's so sore. Oh, that was so painful. And my poor nipples. Like, I remember because my best friend, she was 2 months behind me in pregnancy. So we both got pregnant kind of together. And she was like, so how was it? Like, was it amazing? And I was really careful. I was like, I don't want to like tell her how painful my everything is right now. I was like, I don't think that's going to be helpful. So I was like, yeah, it's amazing. I was like, and obviously it is amazing, but like that first 2 weeks is really hard.
Yeah.
Mentally. And I think, I remember getting in the bath, I think on day 7, they were like, look, your stitches are dissolvable, so you can only be in the bath for 5 minutes. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to take that 5 minutes. I remember I was having like Epsom sea salt and lavender baths for 5 minutes. And that would be my time in the evening. Yeah. That would be like my moment where I really forced myself to be positive because I was in agony. My golf balls under my armpits, my boobs were really sore, my stitches were really sore. I just remember, again, I was really forcing myself to do affirmations. I'm really grateful my milk's come in. I'm really grateful for my body. I was just really trying to focus on the gratitude element of it because I thought all women go through this. It's really important that I actually focus on, like, so many women can't breastfeed or their milk doesn't come in and all of these different things. And so I was really, really trying, even though I was in so much pain, to like try and be as positive as possible. And that really helped me because it actually just allowed me like the space to be like, you know what, actually I can do this. I'm grateful for this experience and like I've got this. Like, and that 5 minutes kind of every day after day 7 was really special to me. It was like my moment. Yeah. It was like my sacred time. I'd have all the lights off in the bathroom. I'd like light all the candles. I remember it so well, like the smell of like lavender. It was a really nice time for me to just kind of, and I'd be crying whilst I was doing my affirmations, by the way. You know, I was really just letting out all of the emotions and just sitting with my emotions, but also just being like, you know what, actually, this is amazing. And I want to be present for this. And I, you know, I want to focus on the good in this part, even though it's hard, like there are still good moments.
We talk a lot nowadays, I think, about maternal mental health and things like that. Do you feel like you were aware of that side of stuff and maybe on the lookout or just putting those things in place to kind of keep check of how you were feeling?
I think that's exactly why I decided that I needed 5 minutes, because up until those 7 days, I felt really overwhelmed. Like I was crying a lot and I felt like I didn't have it was weird because I get really flustered if someone other than me was with the baby. I'd be like, oh my God, I want the baby back. Where's he gone? But then like when he was on there, I equally felt a little bit claustrophobic when I had him all day. And I was also in bed all day, like not really doing much, not moving. I also felt kind of like, oh my God, like he's mine and, you know, he's always going to be here and all of this stuff. It's not like a dog you can return or something. They're going to forever be with you. Yeah, it was a weird moment up until that 7 days. I just, yeah, I was very emotional.
It's that big life shift though, isn't it? Like when you think about yourself having a baby, within that first week, so much is happening. And that's a huge part of it. Your independence has slipped away. That responsibility that's placed on you is absolutely massive. And that happens when you're at your most depleted in every single way. Physically, when you're in pain, when things are, you know, going on, all these different chemicals and hormones are released. It's such a massive thing to go through at a point when you're not at your best.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I think it's really important for mums to kind of give themselves like so much slack at that time because, like you said, there's so much going on. You're not at your best. I just didn't even feel like I couldn't cook myself food. I was just like, I just don't even want to move. Like I'm in so much pain. But that 5 minutes just really gave me the headspace to just, sometimes I'd just cry for the whole 5 minutes. Sometimes I was really able to just, I used to think of like my favorite thing of like the day. And like, obviously from 7 days onwards, like there's little things like their eyes become like a different color. And like, you know, you get a bit more like smiles and a bit more emotions and they're awake for longer periods. And I really was like trying to focus on those small moments of being like, that's actually really special. So I'd really try and focus on like the positive things because I thought if I've got any hope of like not kind of having this feeling for a longer period of time, I really need to kind of force myself to be positive.
Yeah.
I completely understand. A lot of people, mums go through kind of baby blues. And that was really kind of what I wasn't sure if I had or not. I actually not even sure what it was too much. I just knew that it was something that you had kind of postpartum. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably emotional for everybody.
Let's talk boobs.
Yeah, let's talk
boobs.
We've
talked about them getting hard and horrible. Hard and horrible.
Hard and nasty. Yeah.
Hard and nasty. But before giving birth, you were quite laid back about breastfeeding. You're a bit, I think you were so aware, and you are definitely someone who has really studied, I would say, and prepped. There's stuff that you can't prep for, like how your body's going to feel. And I don't think there's enough out there about stuff like that. But with breastfeeding, you were very much sort of, I know that it might not happen. I might know that it might not come easily, but I'm going to try.
Yeah.
That's where you left us.
Yes. So I exclusively breastfed until 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? At the start, I was, it was just so painful. I was like, I can completely see why people throw the towel in. I was like, get me the formula. And I remember I was like, Mark, you need to buy the formula just in case I don't make it this week. And he was like, and I just remember I had so much formula like in the drawers. Because I was like, next week might be the week that I don't do this anymore. I just took it week by week and I just, and then it did suddenly get easier. And actually something that made it a lot easier was having a lactation consultant to come see us at 5 weeks. She told us that Jude was tongue-tied and that's why kind of his latch wasn't good. And it was a very shallow latch and he was literally like on the end of my nipple. Like you can imagine how red raw that was.
Yeah.
And so we actually had his tongue tie lasered, which kind of sounds horrible. But it genuinely was the best thing I did because it enabled me to carry on breastfeeding and it was then honestly instantly pain-free.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't believe the difference. Do you know what? It was a very stressful period where it wasn't nice, you know, having to get it lasered. It wasn't nice having, you have to do tongue exercises afterwards to make sure they've got full flexibility of their tongue.
So is that you having to hold his tongue and move it around? Oof.
You've got to push it back to 90 degrees, like 4 or 5 times a day after like post-surgery. God. So yeah, it's a big commitment.
So is that very different to having it cut than having it lasered? Because with cutting, they don't say, I've never heard about it possibly being able to reattach. But is that different with laser?
This is, again, I've like kind of got myself in a hole of research, scissors versus laser. Scissors is more difficult to be as precise because it's obviously bleeds.
Yeah.
And so often they'll go in, they'll cut it, they'll be like, well, maybe we need to, they kind of clear the wound and they're like, oh, actually, maybe we need to cut it some more. So it's not as precise as I've been told. And obviously you're more likely to infection because of the nature of the wound is in the mouth and also it's blood. Yeah. Laser is more precise. It doesn't bleed because so it cauterizes as it lasers. So it doesn't bleed.
Right.
Just a completely different ball game. And for me, I just thought it heals quicker.
Yeah.
It's less painful for the child to get it lasered, less likely to be infected. So I just thought, I'm just going to get it lasered. I do think, again, there's not enough information out there about that, because I had no idea you could even get it lasered.
No.
And
well, I think it's such an old school thing, isn't it? Like, yeah, I think you just assume that is the way. We forget technology and medicine advances.
Yeah,
you know?
100%. And also, someone messaged me, because I remember putting it on my Instagram, and one of my friends messaged me saying, oh my goodness, my son was tongue-tied. The nurse came round to my house and I had to pin my baby down and they cut it for... And I just thought, how traumatic is that?
And like, so how did you do it then?
So we actually had to take Jude to this oral surgeon in London. Yeah. They don't let you in the room. They're like, it will literally take 2 minutes, but we don't like parents to be in the room. We don't want it to be distressing for them. And then you can come back in literally 5 minutes. And we did exactly that. And don't get me wrong, when you leave your baby in that room, I burst into tears.
Oh.
5-week-old Jude, I was just like, oh my God, I'm a terrible person. Oh my God, he's going to be in so much pain. And it literally was 2 minutes. He came to kind of collect us from downstairs. And by the time we actually got upstairs, he was kind of like calmed down.
Yeah.
And I think that first day, you know, he was a little bit more grisly. He was crying a bit more. And obviously because he was in pain, because he had a lip tie as well, which is when you've got a bit of skin attached here.
Oh, yeah.
So they did that as well. But all of these things were contributing to him not being able to breastfeed properly. So after that first day, it just wasn't painful breastfeeding. I was just in complete shock. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, this is amazing, because I just felt like I can do this now. And actually, I think there's probably so many women that maybe their babies are tongue-tied and they're not able to breastfeed properly. And it is so painful when they're not latching properly. And those gums are like wooden blocks, like they are not soft. So, yeah, I think if that's one thing I would...
It's knowing what pain is normal and what's not, isn't it, as well? Because I can remember a mate of mine messaging... I think maybe I'd only just announced that I was pregnant. I don't think I'd said anything about breastfeeding. But she messaged and she just said, you know, the first 15 seconds of each feed in those early days, clench your butt, put your feet into your chair. I remember being like, what is she on about? But it is, it's that burn of that milk literally being sucked out of you.
I know.
But if it's still hurting beyond that, it's definitely worth, you know, getting it looked into.
I remember the first, like, 2 weeks especially... Mark would be like, oh, I think he's hungry. I'm like, no, he's not hungry. Sell him some other way. I was like, I need 10 more minutes. I was like, I can't. And I just used to try and like get him to like walk him around the block. I was like, soothe him for just 10 more minutes. Like, I just need 10 more minutes to myself before I can do that again. Because it is that toe curling, like,
Yeah, I'd be so set on my 3-hour gaps. So I'd be like, no, no. There's still 45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes. Second, like, no, thank you.
Second and third, I was like, oh, they're grisly. Oh, just pop them on the boob.
Yeah,
you know, it's totally different.
I know. It's a little bit of a whirlwind. But yeah, I think the whole baby space, especially like those early like weeks, because Jude was also projectile vomiting.
Oh, yes, the dairy thing.
Yeah, which I had, again, no idea, because I thought, oh, this is normal. You know, babies are sick all the time. But he was like... projectile, like it was, yeah, it was like hitting the wall projectile, like when he was asleep and stuff, like it was bad. And I just kind of assumed that was normal, which kind of in hindsight, it wasn't normal at all. Like, honestly, he'd be like in bed lying flat in his little cot and I could literally see it like a rainbow. And I was thinking, that's weird. Like, but I just, again, I was like, oh, I was like, I feel like, because he was such a happy baby. Like, he didn't seem like he was in pain. Like, he just seemed to kind of be doing, I was like, it doesn't seem like he's like upset about anything. But yeah, that was also a bit stressful. Now he's allergic to dairy and I'm just like gutted. I'm like, ugh, no Maltesers, no chocolate, no this. It's like really depressing.
Maltesers, your snack of choice?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so again, once that had settled, once you decided to cut dairy out yourself, had that sort of settled things within him?
Yes, honestly, within a day of me not having any dairy. I was having a box of Maltesers every day, so that probably didn't help. Like, you know those big, you know those gigantic boxes of Maltesers? Yeah. I genuinely ate one of those every day.
They're so Moorish, though. It is one of those things, as soon as you know they're open, you're just going in the cupboard all the time. They might as well just sit next to you. That's it.
I've just given birth. I can do what I want, okay? I can eat what I want. If I want to eat a box of Maltesers every day, I can do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then so 2 weeks ago, you've switched to combi feeding.
Yes. 2 weeks ago, since the operation, I just really needed some support. I just didn't want to, I didn't have the energy really. And I was in so much pain. Yeah. I just was like, I just need to not think about breastfeeding for the first week. Yeah. So that was the first time we kind of introduced formula. and it was a hypoallergenic one just because of his dairy intolerance. Yeah. And it's been fine. And do you know what? For that first week, we did combi of formula and breast. And now we're back on exclusively breast, and it's absolutely fine. And if I don't fancy it, or if I'm like, I actually want to go out with the girls, I'm like, you can feed him formula and he'll survive.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that. He absolutely will survive.
He loved the formula as well. He loved the formula. He was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. And I was thinking, excuse me, don't enjoy that too much. But yeah, it was good actually, because he really enjoyed it and he loved it. So again, that took the pressure off me as well.
Yeah. And how are you feeling now? You know, you're a few months in. I know the knee stuff is kind of, it's going to have changed a lot of stuff. And but before that, had you felt that things starting to change between you both?
Do you know what? They obviously become way more expressive. They recognise you. They start smiling, like really magical moments. The one thing that I would say is I hate that app. What's it called? Like Wonder Weeks or something, or Wonder Leaps. Yeah.
Some people love it.
I know. And that's the thing. Some people are like, get it. It's incredible. I really didn't like it. Jude should be doing this right now. Jude should be doing that. And Jude should be, you know, doing this. And I'm just like, he's not doing any of these things. It's just annoying me that, like, I'm like, oh, he should be doing this. So I just deleted it. And that was actually the best thing ever. Just letting him grow into whoever he wants to be at, whatever speed that is. And I just feel way more relaxed. So I just kept looking at it, being like, he's supposed to be smiling this week. I haven't seen a smile yet. And all this stuff. And I'd be saying to Mark, like, oh my God, maybe he's behind. I'm like, he's 2 months. How can I say he's behind? So I think that really took the stress out of things, actually just deleting that and not Googling everything and just really just enjoying all the moments. And when things come or when things happen, it happens.
Yeah. Are you really not Googling anything? Because my Google history in those early days, it's always a bit bonkers.
I just Google stuff like when their teeth come in or like when they start crawling and like big stuff like that. Because like at the minute he started like dribbling a lot and I'm like, does this mean his teeth coming in? Do babies' teeth come in at 4 months? And that I genuinely have no idea. And they can come in as early as 4 months. So I'm like, please don't start.
Well, they all start moving around, I think, or different activity. So you might not see some for a couple of months, but the activity is there. That's why they all start. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I know. I don't know how I feel about breastfeeding when the teeth come in. I think I'm not going to be like...
Well, I always said until 6 months or when they get teeth, that was my aim. And then because it took so long it took me in my first like 3 months for it to actually become comfortable. Like it felt like suddenly one day he went on in a completely different way to what he had before. Suddenly it was working. And then because it took so long to get there, I was like, well, let's just keep at it. So I fed him for just over a year and then the other two because, you know, well, you do for one, you've got to do for all of them. It's that weird mental thing in your brain. I carried on, but the teeth, only the third one got me with his teeth. The other two, they weren't. They were well behaved.
As soon as Jude has teeth, it's not happening. I'm sorry, I can't. can't possibly. My poor nipples, like they look so weird already. I'm like, no. Honestly, I can't.
But some children don't bite. Or you do the one bite and you're out rule.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Oh dear, Montana. So if you could write a letter, now that you're a few months in, if you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to and what would you say?
Do you know what? I was actually thinking about this ahead of speaking to you, and I would write a letter to all the single mums and just how much respect, love and just kudos I have to them. Because when I was in those late stages of labour, I actually thought of my mum because she was a single mum. And I thought all those single mums out there who are having children by themselves, don't necessarily have like a really close support network. I just salute you, like you're absolute superpower houses. Like it's just incredible. And I think about it often. Single parents don't have enough support because, you know, I struggle and I've got a lovely support network around me. So I just send so much love to those single mums and just keep going. And yeah, it's just incredible what they're doing.
Has it made you think about your own mum a lot and what it would have been like for her then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've definitely thought of my mum a lot. And, you know, my mum and I have got really, really close over this period of me having Jude, which has been really nice. Because you just have so much respect, I think, for your mum once you've gone through that.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of makes you feel bad for all the time.
Yeah, it does.
You've been the right shit.
I was like, I wish I wasn't horrible to you. Like when I was 13.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's lovely, though. I love that. And it seems like she's been a real
No, she's been amazing. She's really, really stepped up. She's helped me when it's been really, like, hard, especially in those first 2 weeks. She was kind of driving and being there at 6:30 a.m., knowing I wouldn't have had any sleep. She's like, I'll take the baby until 11, you have a sleep. So she was really superhuman for me.
I love that. So we're going to finish three sentences. First one, being a mum means?
Being a mum means, God, that's hard. Showing up emotionally.
Since having a child, I?
Don't put myself first.
And I'm happy when?
I'm with my baby.
Oh, Montana, I'm so, so, so glad that we could get this chat in.
I know.
It's been an absolute joy. I've loved it. And also it's something really special about speaking to someone before their journey, before their birth, and then afterwards, and kind of, it's been just so gorgeous. And we can do this next year. We'll do like a yearly roundup.
I know. It won't be too long before I'm trying again, so I'll be back.
Do you feel like you're ready, like, not ready now, obviously, but do you reckon that's
I'm like, I want another one already. I do. So watch this space.
You know where we are.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for having me, G. It's such a lovely space to chat, like, everything, mum. It's just amazing.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you. Speak soon.
Yeah, see you later.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
We have something very exciting to talk about today. Happy mum, happy baby. Well, we are expanding. We're only releasing our very first record. Yes, Move Over McFly, Move Over Tom Fletcher. It's all about happy mum, happy baby. We're going into music, people. We have teamed up with Decca Records and LifeScore to build a one-stop shop for quality, trustworthy, educational music for baby, toddler and parent. Music is such a massive part of our family and I'm so thrilled with what we've created. I can't wait for you to hear it. Now, it's worth saying that all the sounds on the album, they are played by real instruments and they feature real nature sounds. There is nothing processed. It is all organic. And all of the music aims to be enjoyable listening experience for both the child and the parent. No plonky plonky piano. It's all just beautiful musicians with their instruments. Honestly, it's a joy to listen to. We all know the number one rule for getting your little one to sleep is to stick to a trusted routine. And my hope with this album is that our creation can be a part of that and make bedtime an easier transition for all. The Ultimate Baby Sleep album is here and it encompasses three parts of baby sleep. And it runs in three sections. Wind down, going to sleep, and staying asleep. Running seamlessly from top to bottom for the ultimate baby sleep experience. And each section lasts around 30 minutes. So, let's delve into each section and tell you what they're about. The wind down is a perfect calming music for bath time and any other pre-bed activity. This encourages special bonding time between parent and baby to prepare for sleep. The melodies I've chosen to feature within the music have a very special place within my own experience of sleep routine. I loved singing little ditties or little lullabies and this, it's just got that lovely, gentle, melodic feeling to it. The melodies can be easily hummed by parents to capture the bonding power of a parent's voice. And actually, as you listen to the music, you might even catch a few melodies of some traditional classics that would just, they just fill my heart with such love. The next section we have is called Going to Sleep. How we created this was so interesting and I absolutely loved the recording process to kind of really feel that breath actually of the musicians as they were playing. It also features natural sounds and it entwines the lullabies from the previous wind down to encourage baby to nod off at their own pace and in a relaxed state of mind. Those two sections, they kind of work together and they build. We've found that this is the ideal transition for baby to acknowledge that it is now time to go to sleep. And then the next section, the final section, is during sleep or staying asleep. I like to call it staying asleep because that's the dream, people. But it provides 30 minutes of natural and environmental white noise derived from nature sounds. And then actually this leads into an additional 9.5 hours of natural white noise for babies to prefer continuous white noise once asleep. No waking up in the middle of the night to press a little button on a sheep. Not anymore. There's been so much thought and love poured into these tracks. We've gone through so many different versions. I've pulled on the music that I love, that makes me feel nice and calm. And together with LifeScore and Decca Records, we've really created something that I feel is really magical. I played it to my kids. They love it. I'm so thrilled. Can you imagine they didn't? And actually, I have to say that even as an adult, sitting at my desk and listening to different versions, I have often fallen asleep in the best way, in a very contented way. Some might call it work. Some might call it a nice little nap. Either way, I loved it. And it was all because of this album. With 12 hours of continuous music to help your baby sleep through the night, we are so proud to introduce you to Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the Sleep Album. I can't wait for you to hear it and then for you to tell me how you're getting on.